Okay, I think I'm live. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Tech Lore. Last week, we did not have a stream. Just to get that right off the bat, we'll get that taken care of right off the bat. Lots of transitions going on with Tech Lore and team members who left and trying to kind of cover responsibilities they used to have. So it's been a process the last few weeks trying to get that under control. There's some exciting things that I've been working on as part of that, like a new PeerTube instance. I'll touch on that in a sec. Also, just content's fallen behind, keeping up with the streams has fallen behind, so I really apologize, but I can promise you that I'm getting towards the end of all the transitioning, so I really appreciate everybody's patience, and especially in our Signal group. A lot of you sent some nice messages and words of encouragement, so that was really nice to hear. And then also personal life, but I don't talk much about my personal life on this channel because it's like public and we talk about privacy, so I think that's kind of assumed why that is. But I really appreciate everybody's patience and I'm really happy to be back. And it felt weird not doing this last week, and so it's really good to be back. Welcome everybody. And if you're new to this, these are the privacy wins of the week. So this week I am showcasing a couple people who talked about their transitioning or their transition into moving to Linux. And so just to kind of preview that, the main win I'm going to be covering here, we're going to talk about GoBetter, who's a patron, and they talk about their Linux adventure, as well as Taserface, who is in the thumbnail, who they finally switched to Linux on Friday, which is really exciting. And we'll kind of talk about their journey, some takeaways. And yes, one of the wins I think did mention PewDiePie, which was just talked about in the live chat. So a lot of fun stuff to talk about today. And I also am going to go ahead and start in just the chat, give people a few minutes to show up. Let's go ahead and see what you're all up to. So, yeah, if you're online, if you have anyone that you think would enjoy the stream, definitely share it along with them so we can get everyone as active as possible. Let's see. I'm not waiting 14 hours for this to start. Well, I hope you're here now. Saturn Blue, are you in? Definitely say hi if you're in the chat. Let me know if I sound good. If I look good, just go ahead and let me know. Welcome, Band EV. Hi guys, hello Oddbyte. I hope you're online right now. You were a little early there, 53 minutes. Neil, I do think you're on because we had a little conversation. Neil said, looking at the thumbnail, the penguin is looking sad. So I thought this was funny because there's actually the thumbnail pack that we use for our thumbnails and stuff is the Microsoft emoji pack. And it just looks really good and it like aligns well with kind of the visual design of Tech Lore. And so that's what we use for our thumbnails. And I just thought it was funny how the penguin, which is typically the Linux-themed, mascot, looks very sad in the Microsoft pack. So I don't think they did that intentionally. I just think it's a bit ironic and it's really funny. And we're getting a lot of hearts. Hello, somebody, or all of you who is doing that. And yeah, let me just get this announcement out of the way before I get into the wins. So Neil said, can you guys clarify where you and Nate can be found on PeerTube? Yeah, so let me pull up Nate's instance because nothing we've done has changed at all between surveillance report for surveillance support specifically. So if you're here and you like surveillance support, which is the podcast I host with Nate, it's weekly privacy news. People really enjoy it. It's been the same PeerTube instance this whole time. It's called AppertaTube, and Nate hosts this. He does this all by himself. Nothing's changed. There's tons of random stuff he follows. But yeah, okay, I'm gonna bug Nate to pin our channel since it's his instance and he should be pinning our channel. But our channel's here and this is actually the main instance. If you were watching surveillance report from a different PeerTube instance, it's because your PeerTube instance was following this one. This is like the original instance, so this has been the same. With that said, what I've been working on, we used to use neat.tube, and the videos are still there. But what I've been working on is a Tech Lore one. So techlore.tv, it's meant to just be a Tech Lore home for our content. I've hopped around a lot of different instances over time, and I've never just took ownership and made my own so that I could just keep control over it, and I finally did that. So techlore.tv is the name, and if you go there, you can click more info, and you can learn a lot more about the instance and what I plan to do. And yeah, that's pretty much it. I haven't done formal announcements yet because I'm still doing kind of final touch-ups, and there's still like 13 videos I need to manually upload because their imports failed. And I haven't really organized things into playlists and stuff like that. You can see these are all old videos, so there's little minor things I need to clean up. And as for live streaming, if anyone cares about the technical details, I was hoping to live stream today on PeerTube. Sadly, it's not really easy to do live streaming with PeerTube behind a reverse proxy. So that's something I'm still trying to troubleshoot to see if there's a possibility, because I want to make sure the PeerTube has proper protection against things like DDoS attacks. And you can't even set up PeerTube with a subdomain for just live streaming without DDoS protection, whereas the main domain has DDoS protection. Anyway, if you know what I'm talking about and you have tips or advice, definitely shoot it my way, because I'm still exploring options right now. That is all I have to say there. That's my little announcement. And let me go ahead and continue with the comments here. Give you all just a few more minutes to log in. I haven't actually watched a PewDiePie Linux video. People talked about it in our live chat, and I've just been so busy, but it's on my list of things to watch. I actually got a lot of good videos to watch this week. Some of them, and they're random. Like, one was about clothing. I learned I knew nothing about clothes, so that's a good one. Another one is about, like, Finland versus Russia, and there was a documentary made on YouTube. I think it's, like, about an hour. It's from a really popular YouTuber, but, you know, it looks really interesting. Shaquille said you don't ever receive XMR chat, so I'll try sending one sometime this week. Yes, please do. I'd love to see more usage. I really like Monero, and it'd be cool to see more like Monero adoption with things like live chats and stuff. I could try to integrate the live chat into OBS, but then I feel like it competes with the YouTube chat, which is far more popular and used by all of you. So just different things I'm thinking about. Let's see. Welcome back, by the way. Thank you, thank you. It's good to be back. Like, truly, it felt weird. It was getting into such a consistent routine, and it felt weird to not do it. And my last Friday was like, huh, I feel like something was missing. So it's good to be back. Let's see. Hi, everyone. Hello, Mr. Plasma. Hello, Floyd. Hello, Neil. Hello, Science Fiction. I haven't really played much with SteamOS, but it seems to be very popular. Like, people are talking about it, which I think is really good. So I can't complain. Hello, your username? Don't know what that is. Hello, Garujo. Hello. Hello, Drunken Panda. Yes, Garujo did like a community live stream because I wasn't there last week. So they did a little like community live stream, which I thought was really awesome. So thanks for doing that and still trying to keep the spirit alive on the week where I wasn't there. No more missing live streams. Telegram bot reminding me as soon as it starts. Ooh, hell yeah. Hi, Nyx. Hello, Shaquille again. Okay, so we got more questions. I just want to welcome people in. How many? Oh my gosh. Time out. 24 hours. Goodbye. let's see here. Yeah, I don't know. Well, we can talk about that more later. So let's go back here and go into the wins. So I want to start up here. Gordujo, did you put your win? Join my weekly stream context again. No, okay, so you're going to be covering your win later, I suppose. Yep, okay. So Rolls Ice Cream. Counselor orientation. What? Did you set that? Can you set those now? How did you do that? I don't even know. I didn't know that was a feature on our form. Okay, so I'm just kind of getting mind blown now. My never-ending secure blue journey got something new today. DistroBox. Maybe some of you know what it is, but if you don't, this little software will help you create containers of many Linux distros in any Linux distro. This means you can have an Arch Linux shell in your terminal in a Fedora host operating system. It's just beautiful in my eyes because now I have the ability to create containers based in different workflows, most importantly, a development environment. It's great for compartmentalization. If I have other wins, I'll share them. Yeah, so it's funny because someone in surveillance support Q&A recently asked about why, like, creators and myself and even, like, resources online typically use virtual machines instead of containers for their compartmentalization online between identities. And my general response was, well, like, containerization tools just haven't really come as far for end users as something like virtual machine software, where I think a lot of people would have an easier time installing, like, an OS on a virtual machine than actually installing an OS on a regular operating system. And things like Parallels and even VMware and stuff like that, like, seriously automate how to use virtual machines for a regular consumer. But containers are typically limited to things like Docker, and I suppose DistroBox as well. But a lot of these things are more niche tools that a lot of people don't know about, and they might be a bit more technical to use. So that's kind of why I think it's kind of a lost opportunity. It would be really cool to see more containerization software out there, because it would make privacy and security quite a bit easier. So that's Roll's Ice Cream kind of win on Linux, and I thought that was super cool. And I'm going to skip down again to more Linux people here. So here's a patron of ours, GoBetter, and they said, "My Linux adventure continues. I learned and customized a ton in general and for gaming. It will take a very long time to describe everything, but gaining a smooth 100+ FPS or change 40 to 60 by using other Wine versions or tuning parameters is priceless. Unfortunately, this is much more interesting than my job, so I spend a lot of time on this and I want more, but gotta work as well." Yeah, that was kind of my life. I felt like when I was really tinkering on the Linux side of things and not just using things by default, which is kind of how I use Linux now because I just can't, it really felt like it took up a weekend. And when I say felt, I mean it did. Like, it truly takes a weekend sometimes to tinker and try to make things work sometimes on Linux, which is part of the fun, but also part of the annoyance for me, because sometimes I'm like, ah, shit, like, I actually had stuff to do this weekend, and now I didn't have time to do that. So my point is, you can be a tinkerer on Linux, and you can hopefully, ideally, just pick something that out of the box works for you, that takes care of most things out of the box. So not everybody has to do what GoBetter did, but if you do go on this journey, you're going to learn a lot, and it's going to be very enjoyable, and hopefully more interesting than your job. Or maybe not. Maybe your job should be more interesting, and in that case, that's a different discussion we should talk about. So they installed Monero GUI again since Exodus plans to drop its support. Yeah, so a bit of context here. So Exodus is one of the most popular cross-platform wallets that's had Monero support for a long time. They are phasing it out for technical reasons, and they've made some public announcements about why they're doing that. And they've actually formally partnered with Cake Wallet to transition those users to Cake Wallet. With that said, you can use any Monero wallet. So you can use the Monero GUI. There is Monerujo. And those are kind of the main Monero wallet options that I can kind of recommend right now. But whatever you need to use to still use Monero, I think, is a huge win. So that's awesome. And it's kind of a bummer Exodus is dropping it, but I'd rather Exodus just drop it and move people to other options than try to, like, keep supporting it but have issues supporting it. And, you know, I think it sucks, but it is what it is. So it's good that you've migrated away from that. I asked around and my friends have shared an eGPU community link. The format is opinionated but resonates with me a lot. I maybe will be able to use AMD GPU without buying a whole new laptop or computer. Looking forward to it. Good stuff. And then with respect to Reddit enjoyers, I switched from Rave Search to DuckDuckGo because of 9,999 Reddit posts before anything else on search results. DuckDuckGo also has this problem. Maybe I'll switch on something else next, but didn't get there yet. Yeah, there might be a way to tune that. I do know Brave Search has some features regarding, like, show forum posts or don't show forum posts, so I would check out the settings for any of these search engines to see if they might have settings for you to, like, tone down the amount of posts. Yeah, I kind of get that, though. Like, sometimes you don't want just community feedback for everything, so definitely understood. And then Taserface is the actual, like, win of the week that's showcased in the thumbnail. So they said it finally switched to Linux on Friday. So they started on Silverblue. And if you've never heard of Silverblue, it's actually, the full name is Fedora Silverblue. So it's a spin of Fedora, which is Atomic by default. And what that means is that it's meant to essentially be, like, most of the system files are not meant to be changed. It's meant to be more secure. It's meant to be a little bit easier to install things in a way that doesn't impact the root system. And a lot of people really tout Silverblue as being kind of the future, and Atomic distros being the future of Linux. And from what I've seen, it seemed to agree with that and think that's a really cool direction to head in. So I'm really excited for that. With that said, Silverblue isn't as established as something like Fedora Workstation, and Taserface had that experience. They said it was too difficult for this Linux noob. So they decided to follow Privacy Guide advice and just try Fedora Workstation, which is far more user-friendly. And Fedora Workstation, for the record, is awesome, and that is my go-to distro. So maybe in a year I'll give Silverblue another try, and I think that's a good move. Sometimes it's totally acceptable to just start on a beginner distro and migrate later, and especially if you're staying with a distro that has the same package manager, it's extremely easy for you to just move everything over. So I think that you're doing the right thing, and it's good that you're still using Linux, even if it's not, like, maybe where you want to be right now. So they said it feels good to be on a computer without the bloat, And they said this in the last thread, this is the biggest win since installing Graphene OS a good while ago. So congrats on the transitions, and these are all huge things. It's always hard to like take, you know, these wins from the forum and translate into how big of a deal they really are for people. So I try to still like acknowledge that when I can. And I just noticed, this is very off topic, but going back to announcements real quick, we migrated the forum last week to a brand new host. So there's little changes, like now Discourse has certain features that we can use, some that we can't use, but just thought I'd mention that our forum now is being hosted officially by the Discourse team, like the official Discourse team. And there's a little notice now because we had to remove Simple Login to SSO. That was one of the one features that they couldn't bring over without us paying for a super expensive account. And if that's you, you just have to, when you log in, just click forgot your password and use the same email that you were using for your SSO. And then you just set a password and you're into the same account. That's the one kind of caveat. But yeah, just a quick little announcement there that I forgot to say earlier. Let's go back here to the wins. Let me do a few more wins and I'm going to go back up. Okay, haven't been here in a while. This is Polar Cat, but I'm still making progress on my journey. I found out about Orion Browser and iOS from a Linux Experiment video. It somehow does some magic to make Chrome and Firefox extensions work, so I've been using that with uBlock Origin. Another win recently for me was switching to AnyType. Found that out about this forum, and so far it's going great. It's like a nice middle ground between Notion and Obsidian. Can be either end-to-end encrypted or local only. So yeah, first off, really good stuff. Definitely good that you're trying different browsers. And then when it comes to AnyType, the thread that you probably found AnyType from. So I made a video on Lunatask and I talked about how Lunatask is like pretty much the only end-to-end encrypted like life management tool that I could find. And I would say it's like very focused on being a to-do program. Like it's to-do program first, but it incorporates journaling, it incorporates notes, it incorporates habit tracking, and it does it very cleanly in a very traditional way, if that makes sense. And I kind of mentioned this is the only thing I ever found, and then someone in the thread said, well, like, there's AnyType as well, and AnyType does seem pretty cool. It's kind of like a everything app. I'd say it very much brands itself as a Notion, and it works more like a Notion, but it works locally and has kind of the local aspects of Obsidian. So definitely check it out. I actually played around with it, and for the record, I do not like Notion. I really hate Notion. Notion for me does kind of everything not well. Like it does everything, but it does it all worse than individual tools will do. And I haven't found many workflows where like the integration in one suite was so important and necessary that it, you know, was more important than just having better tools across the board, if that makes sense. And AnyType kind of fell into a similar boat for me personally. But I don't think I'm the majority here because people like swear by Notion and AnyType tries to do that. So if you're looking for a Notion replacement, I think that's a good one for you to check out. Let's see here. And here's the win from Garujo if you want to check out what they did. And this is, well, this is their new stream schedule. So the new link, I don't know, reacting to 51st week. I see. Okay, I'm not quite sure if this is a new video or a new stream, but let's see. Okay, this is, I think, a stream because it's 3.5 hours. Yes, I think this is the one you did last week. So that was really appreciated. So if you want to check out a community stream, there you go. Okay, we covered GoBetter. Okay, I'm going to do one more, and then I'm going to pivot over to the live chat again and catch up with all of you. So the next one is Cosmos Cat. Switched from 2FAS to Entei-Auth. The import was straightforward and easy. Really cool. Yeah, I love Entei-Auth. I say this every stream now. I think it's probably like hands down the best recommendation right now for authentication. They tried OpenStreetMaps and found it extremely lacking details around where I live. So they started contributing to it, added a bunch of roads and marked all nearby schools, planning on mapping my locality fully in the upcoming weeks. Super cool. We've been seeing a few people now. I think consistently each week that, at least I was here, people are starting to contribute more to OpenStreetMaps. So if you want to contribute to a good cause and make GPS and navigation easier for the open source folks, that's how you do it. You start with your local area, and anytime you travel, if you can add even a few things, that's all it takes. I mean, if a million people are just adding a few places here and there, like that stuff really adds up over time. So I think that's super cool. Huge props for doing that. Switched from Notes Nook to Kripty. Reason was mainly geopolitical. Nice to have multiple options with end-to-end encryption. Nice. Yeah, I mean, there's so many reasons to use different services. And right now, based on like the current political climates, if you're more comfortable having something in Estonia, then that's definitely a reason to do that. So I'm glad that that's kind of worked for you. They're both good services, and I have accounts for both of them, and they're both good. So I don't have like, they're both good services. So I'm glad that you're kind of like making a conscious decision between them. Let's see. Yes, and then this is where people talked about PewDiePie. So we have a whole thread on our forum about PewDiePie and them switching to Linux and the whole video. And yeah, there was a cool little discussion about this. Yes. So check it out on the forum if you want to learn more. Let's go back to the chat. Let's see what you're all up to. Do we have any wins in the chat? Do you guys have any questions, wins? Definitely start leaving those. Let's see. Yeah, so Neil said the reason for confusion is that the search led to NeatTube. Yeah, so again, this is a brand new instance. Actually, I just announced it for the first time. I've been kind of teasing it on Mastodon, but I actively always blurted out the name, techlore.tv, because it wasn't ready yet for public use. But now it's ready at least for you all to check it out via the public, but or as the public. Yeah, it's still like, I'm still polishing it up and uploading the last few videos. Specifically, the last few videos are Go Incognito videos. So that really is like what's missing. It's the Go Incognito 1.1 through 3.3 are the last videos that just didn't import properly for some reason. So I'm having to upload those manually. And once that's done, then that's gonna be the new instance. And then I'm gonna update links, and that's what's going to hopefully start linking on our forum and stuff like that. And there's a few things we need to figure out, like how to, you know, switch out previous links that went to the previous instance. Yeah, it's a mess. PeerTube makes transitioning and new servers not good. I'll just leave it at that. Glad you mentioned this. I will add this to my RSS reader. Nice. Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think about more Linux adoption? Because in my view, more Linux adoption will always be good, almost regardless of the context. Like, yes, you know, more popularity for Linux means it's going to also inherit more, more issues that we see in the mainstream. Right, so we might see more corporate influence, we might see more blah, 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 but also what are the biggest criticisms of Linux? Like, oh, it's lacking these drivers, it's lacking this software, it's lacking Adobe, it's lacking professional stuff. And that stuff will only come once there's more corporate influence on Linux. So I think it's just a natural shortcoming. But I think that if we actually want Linux to be a mainstream operating system, then it needs to have mainstream problems. So that's just the way it works. You're not going to get the best of both worlds where Linux somehow gets all the popularity we want without any of the issues that come with being a more popular platform. So yeah, those are my thoughts, I at least on the fly. So I'm curious what your guys' thoughts are on that. I put the stream in the link if you want to watch it. Roles added context. Cool. Nick said, can confirm DistroBox is baller, was able to install packages from completely different distros on a Fedora immutable host with access to local files. Super cool stuff. That's a good workflow. So it sounds like what Nick's is able to do is essentially install like apt packages in Fedora, which uses DNF. So that's crazy cool. So maybe I should play with DistroBox more actually, because that sounds like something I could use. Does DistroBox do anything when it comes to like ARM64 compatibility by any chance? I don't know if anyone knows about that. I just know ARM64 support on Linux is trash, so that's, yeah. Put my take on the stream at the timestamp, nice. Shaquille, started watching in 2020. I ditched Google, Facebook, etc. before, but got tired on privacy stuff. Now I started getting back into it and watch you again. Now I use Google, but compartmentalize. And you know what, that's fine, you know. a lot of the advice covered on this channel is meant to be best case scenario or informational or educational, like whatever it means to you and however it speaks to you. Ultimately, the journey though is your own. And I hope that information is conveyed in a way here on the channel where it's not meant to say you need to do this. This is the right thing that everybody should be doing. That's never really been the goal. The goal is like, here's something cool, here's how you do something, and here's why you might want to do it. But it's kind of your call how you want to integrate this in your life, because everybody has a different use case and different needs, different wants. And this is very normal. It's very normal for people to go all the way and do everything, and then they kind of start finding what's too inconsistent and no longer aligns with their values, and they're fine to like compromise in a few key areas. And that's part of the journey. So I think that it's just kind of the way things go. And then also the aspect of like, well, now I'm able to compartmentalize. You wouldn't have been able to get there without going through that first part of the journey of going all the way to the end, right? So yeah, I'd be proud of where you're at, actually. Brave Search has been way better in my experience. It actually saved my pain on Mastodon issue I had. Yeah, I like Brave Search. Funny enough, you know, I'm always switching and trying different things. I've been using Brave Search for years now, and now I'm back to trying out DuckDuckGo. I think it's gotten better. Like, I'm not noticing as many obvious searches that it just doesn't get anymore. So I've been liking DuckDuckGo again, but I still prefer Brave Search overall, I think. The main reason I've been liking DuckDuckGo is because it's just the default on more browsers, and I've been finding myself using different browsers on new like test review devices. This is very specific and annoying, so like it's not a regular thing, but a lot of these browsers just out of the box say, oh, do you want to use DuckDuckGo? And then I just say yes, and then I move on with my day, and then I have like mental feature parity across all browsers. Even on things like Safari, which don't even let you use Brave Search. So yeah, it's a weird niche reason to try to use DuckDuckGo more, because I just like having a consistent experience on any device I'm testing out. Other than that, I still prefer Brave Search personally. So I probably, if it wasn't for that use case, I probably would just stick with Brave Search. What do you think about MLS messaging protocol implemented on Wire this week? So MLS, I think, is that new protocol that they're trying to use for interoperable end-to-end encryption. If that's what they're implementing, then that's really exciting. But I haven't actually read into it or what they're doing or how it integrates into their platform. So I don't have many thoughts beyond the concept seems really cool. And I hope more people integrate MLS because it seems really awesome. Nyx, today I got several gray hairs when talking to my significant other. She's currently visiting her family and logging into her emails on her brother's PC. His PC is regularly infected, so I suggested she use her phone. Yeah, that's tough. It's tough to like always get people around you to do best case scenario, or even bit minimum, right? Like just not logging into an infected machine. Let's see. Good luck with the stream. Just came by to send my support. You rock. Thanks, Berserk. Thanks for logging in, and I hope that you're doing well over there. Oh, I remind you of Signal, quite to read. Yes, thank you. So let me check the Signal. Let me open that up. What do we got on Signal? Okay, we got Techlorians finally back. Let's see what the Techlorians are saying. M says, we can hear and see you clearly. It almost feels like a weekly hangout. Yes. 82 gigs of videos. Woo. Okay, yeah, so M noticed that the PeerTube server said 82 gigs of videos. I might want to just clarify, that seems like a lot, but that's actually transcoded videos, most of them to like 720p. So yeah, the actual videos that I store are like terabytes on my end, and 82 is actually very impressive. So yeah. Fire Dragon, Henry, when you are talking about a reverse proxy, are you sure not a CDN like Cloudflare? Yes, so something like Cloudflare. So essentially, like, how can we put some protection on just the, because Cloudflare doesn't support RMTP, which is the protocol used for live streaming. And so I was thinking I can set it up on a subdomain. And that way, like, just part of the server is, like, kind of unprotected, if that makes sense. But PeerTube doesn't actually support that. It doesn't support, like, the live stream aspect being done on a subdomain or with the main instance. And there's actually an open GitHub issue that I found asking for that. So if anyone has advice, definitely share it along. Let's see. Fire Dragon. Oh, so Fire Dragon mentioned that DistroBox uses Docker. So that makes sense because in my head, Docker is like the main containerization software. And I'm not super familiar with DistroBox. So if it just uses Docker, then that's, I guess, that's cool. Carter said, send your apps in, send your application. Oh, I see. Gurijo wants to co-host, is what I'm reading here in the Signal group. Yeah, M said Linux getting bigger is awesome. Gurijo said it's true, Linux for ARM is just not good at all. It's like not bad, but not good either. Yeah, I would argue it's bad personally, just given the fact that like basic software, like okay, I'm not suggesting people like need to use Chrome, right? But if we're talking about Linux being a mainstream operating system, the fact you can't use Chrome on Linux with ARM64 natively speaks to the problem, right? Like, I don't think Chrome packages an ARM64 yet. And even if they, and there's no compatibility layer. So there's no way to like even emulate Chrome on Linux natively. I think Ubuntu has some stuff that you can play with, but that's not like a normal thing for every Linux distro. And even to this day, just trying to get an ISO, like even installing Linux on ARM64 is a pain in the ass. Like Fedora, I don't think packages in ARM64 yet. Like you have to still, yeah, it gives you like this weird bin file. I was trying to do it and it was ridiculous. Let's see. M asked if, yeah, you can use Box. I tried Box, it's not good. yeah. M said that's a new achievement, isn't it? 100 plus viewers. No, we've gotten 100 plus viewers. I think 200 was what we hit once, which was pretty exciting. But yeah, I'll keep the Signal group open, so I'll try to keep up there. And then let's see here. So, a win for the week from Plasma is they got four friends to use Signal instead of Discord. That's massive. If you have any tips on how you did that, definitely share in the chat. Been on Windows since 1995. Hit me with the best Linux distro to kick off my self-tutoring. Go, go, go. Yeah, I normally like beginner-friendly distros to start with, so check out Ubuntu, Linux Mint. I would put Fedora on that list personally. Some might say it's like a moderate distro. I don't think you can go wrong with some of those basics, though. And they're all going to work functionally the same once you set it up. Yeah, I've never heard of Sepia Search, so I'm gonna open that up so I can go ahead and try to like update that. Yeah, I'll reach out to this and make sure that they hopefully can direct to the right place. Ah, stupid YouTuber, always skips around. Let's see. Yeah. I agree with this. That's a good point, too. Welcome to the heaven, mate. Yes. How can I get my family friends to use Signal? We've talked about this in prior ones, actually. So I really recommend going back to previous streams. So that's where I'd recommend. It's a big talking point. It's a lot of questions. We have a lot of threads on our forum about it, but it's going to take like 5 minutes, I think, to go through that. But just try to find what connects with different people. You're not going to have just one thing that speaks to everybody, and try to sell features, not privacy. That's typically what a lot of people like fall back on. Why do we want all people switching to Linux anyways, and why do we all want to make proprietary things usable to accomplish this? I don't think that's a net. That's not like the latter half, right? Sorry, that was my dog shaking. The latter half, why do we all want to make proprietary things usable to accomplish this? I don't think that's what people are saying. I just think that what a lot of people need in the world aren't always open source. And also, the open source equivalents right now aren't the best, right? So, yeah, in a perfect world, GIMP is just as good as Adobe Photoshop, and everybody would just switch to GIMP. I'm of the position that it's nowhere near as good as Photoshop, and I don't use Photoshop, I use Affinity Suite. With that said, as of the way things currently are, is the reason why somebody can't move to Linux is because they have a dependency on Photoshop. They try out GIMP and they say that I don't like this. I'm not going to switch to this. This is going to affect my professional life. So they just avoid Linux altogether. However, if there was a version of Photoshop that worked on Linux, then yes, they're using proprietary software, but they're on now an open source operating system, so it's still a net gain for that person. So proprietary options existing on Linux doesn't necessarily take away from the open source world still being strong on Linux. It just allows more people to make more of their software open source. So I think that's more of why that's a big reason. I don't think that people are saying we need proprietary things to accomplish this. It's just that sometimes those proprietary things, and even those not so private, not so secure things, can actually help transition people to, in the long run, end up on a better thing, if that makes sense. So that's how I personally look at it. And I don't think any people say, yeah, we need to solve problems with proprietary software. It's not as direct as that. And as for why do we want people switching to Linux anyways, because privacy and security and open source is about more than ourselves. It's about trying to extend that to others. It's about trying to change lifestyle habits for different people. It's getting people away from corporate companies. If everybody's using Google and you're the only one using Linux, that's not really helping you either at the end of the day. It makes what you're using less supported. It makes it less less maintained. All these companies aren't going to want to put much time and energy into it. And, you know, if that works for you and you just rely on a browser and, like, your operating system and that's all you need to get by your day, that's fine. But, you know, right now I just talked about it. ARM64 kind of sucks on Linux. I really feel that way about it. And a big reason for that is probably because not enough people on Linux need it. And so these companies don't really bother to support it. And that's a great example of how technology in Linux is slowly falling behind in some ways because it doesn't have enough mainstream appeal. I mean, for context, guys, Apple released their M1 processors, which is their ARM processors for desktop, in 2020. And nowadays, there is not a single piece of software that is in any way mainstream used by anyone that doesn't support ARM on macOS. And even for software on macOS that doesn't have, you know, ARM support, it can be probably perfectly emulated with Rosetta on macOS. So Apple has essentially completely transitioned to ARM now for desktop, which means that Apple's half a decade ahead of Linux now, in my view. And even Windows now is starting to have compatibility layers, and they're starting to evolve as of the last year or two. So even Windows now is ahead of Linux, which is really sad because Linux actually was doing some of, like, the really early work to try to support ARM devices. Like, they were ahead of both Apple and Microsoft way back in the day, in, like, 2019, 2020. And then Apple just thrust them, they thrust ahead 5 years. And 5 years later, Linux really hasn't moved much at all. So I really think that needs to evolve and change personally. And I would love to see it because I think it would, as it stands, like, I really want to, sorry, I'm almost done with this rant, guys. Whether or not you like Apple or macOS or anything, when you buy an Apple product nowadays, you're getting 24 hours of battery life. The reason why that is because of the hardware. Right now, Linux doesn't have any hardware that you realistically want to use because there's no ARM64 devices for Linux that will work well with any software. So until Linux starts really amping up its actual usage of ARM, we're going to be stuck with devices that on paper cost the same and are worse devices. We'll have less battery life, won't be as powerful, and there's a reason why a lot of people are starting to get MacBooks for things, and it's because it's by far the best performing laptops nowadays with good hardware and great battery life that literally lasts 24 hours. I wish I was kidding, 24 hours. You won't find that right now on a Linux device. You're just not going to find it, and I want that to exist on Linux, so that needs to happen. Rant over. Also, I forgot to mention, this is week 52, which is 1 year. So, congrats on a year of the wins. What do you think about searching? I've been self-hosting it since a year now, and it's been great. Yeah, searching is good, too. It's on our resources. I really like them. Especially if you self-host it, then you have a little more ownership. Otherwise, there's public instances that people can use to try out searching on their own. Long time no see. Searching is also amazing. Yep. It's about freedom. I'm happy with Ecosia. Start page and quant. Yeah, all great options. GNU Taylor. I don't know about GNU Taylor, so that's not something I'm familiar with. Let's see. Did you guys see that? I'm not crazy, right? You saw the live chat just do that. I'm just trying to scroll. let's see here. Ah. One nice privacy win this week. Hello, Cabaret Bandit. One nice privacy win this week. I recently got my mother to disable all telemetry on her iPhone and change her Safari search engine to Ecosia. Small stuff, but goes a long way and gets people thinking about privacy. So that's actually really big. So congrats. Linux ARM is bad due to bad hardware support and very less devices to develop and test on. Yeah, hardware needs to get there. Software needs to get there. I'm also attempting to download Hackintosh. Nice. I hope you succeed in that, because it can sometimes be a pain in the ass. Cool. So Mr. Plasma earlier said that they moved some people over. And I see you all in the Techlorian chat. I'll get back to you soon on Signal. So Mr. Plasma got their friends over on Signal. They told their friends that Discord is a privacy nightmare. Can we get a much more safe communication? And they were open to this, and they were glad. So good stuff. Normally, the privacy angle doesn't always work with everybody. So that's pretty cool. And they also shared a couple articles about data collection. Pretty cool. Question about backups. I have old digitized family photos and videos that I would obviously not want to lose in any way. So the cloud would be a good option to comply with the 3-2-1 rule. Yes, that is an underrated use of the cloud, is part like actually having proper backups that you don't have control over. In a good way, not in like the bad way. In a like your house burns down and you still have a backup of your data. However, for my financial documents, I would like to have control over the encryption process. So yeah, what I would recommend to you, oh, here we go. Terminator plus any cloud software. Yeah, so kind of the two options I would push you towards, I guess perhaps three, but the third one I wouldn't recommend for a backup solution personally, and I'll touch on in a sec why. So the first one is you can just use a generic end-to-end encrypted cloud provider. So you can just set up Proton Drive. People are liking FileIn a lot recently. There's sync.com, there's Mega. Just set up a generic end-to-end encrypted cloud provider. Upload your documents. It's meant to be a backup. It doesn't need to be usable. Just upload it there, log out, and don't touch it until the day you need to use it, or hopefully the day you never need to use it, right? The second thing is using any cloud provider and using something like Cryptomator. And I made a tutorial on Cryptomator not that long ago that really breaks down Cryptomator. It essentially lets you encrypt your files on your machine, but it handles syncing to the cloud. So you can essentially sync like a database to the cloud that's all end-to-end encrypted, and this is compatible with Dropbox, it's compatible with Google Drive, it's compatible with literally anything. So that's the second option if you want to do the encryption yourself. And then the third thing I would say is you can always self-host with Nextcloud, and with that you could also use Cryptomator, or Nextcloud is getting a little bit better end-to-end encryption now. So that's the third option. I just wouldn't personally recommend it because I would want to have a very good, clean backup solution. And self-hosting, in my view, is the creator of more backup solutions needed, because if something goes wrong, like normally it's your data or you're hosting it somewhere and it's your responsibility. You want your backup to be, you know, in the 3-2-1 rule. You want this to be someone else's responsibility. It's a different data server from a different company, and they have their own storage practices that are different from yours. So the third one is an option. It could be part of your 3-2-1. I just wouldn't hop to that as my first one. I would personally just use something that like takes care of it for you, so you can just move on with your day. One sec. Have you heard of Cryptomator? Yeah, Cryptomator is pretty good. And they mentioned it, so I think they've heard of it. Called FEX. Has anyone used FEX on Linux? If so, can they speak to how good it is? It's an emulator, okay. It's for Ubuntu. I think this is what I noticed on Ubuntu, which I kind of hinted at earlier. And Arch, I'm seeing. Okay, I'll play around more with this. I just remember trying, this was a while ago, I tried to set up something on Ubuntu and it was such a pain in the ass to set up and use. And it was practically unusable back then, but I think that might have been when it was new, and I don't know if it was this or not. So I'm going to do more research. Hopefully my points still stand that we need to get Linux up to par with other devices if we want people to use it. But yes, this looks like a really cool project. Sorry, I'm like reading it on its website. Maybe I should like pivot over, but this is what they're talking about here. I don't remember if this is the project that I was trying out back in the day. But cool stuff. Thanks for sharing. Let's see here. Sorry, guys, there's a lot of comments. Okay, I'm gonna speed run through this so I can get back to the wins. So let me just go through these really quickly. Let's see, Valve Proton Arm will have some kind of impact. I agree, I think that's a great start. You can easily bottle or wine to use wine-based software. It's not, I don't think it's gonna get the, quite like the native-like performance, but it might work. It's lost, I'm trying to find an easy software to automate my backups while encrypting them. Yeah, that's probably the closest you're gonna get to that is Cryptomator. Down to go MacBook Pro once Asahi gets super stable. Yeah, Asahi is a really exciting project and I hope that it continues. I know there's been drama with like their main developer and I think their main developer either left or was talking about leaving. I really hope that that project continues to push the needle forward because that's what we need for Linux. Like we need Asahi and we need other like projects like Asahi to succeed, I think, if we want Linux to stay in any way near as competitive as current operating systems are. Happy anniversary from Neil. Privacy wins. Nice. Thank you, Neil. I know you're active like almost every week, so really nice to have you here as well. And happy anniversary. Do you use ChatGPT and is it private enough? Yeah, so I've talked about this in the past with private AI. I think right now, if you want to integrate AI, the best you're going to find is more of these like open source tools that you can use locally. So you can use something like Jan, Jan.ai. It's an open source software. It's compatible on Windows, macOS, Linux. And with that, you can use it with an online model like ChatGPT. Of course, that's going to have its own privacy issues, but you can also use it with local models like Llama on like Meta's Llama, which is also open source. So you theoretically can have a very basic but a usable open source client that uses an open source AI model that's all local on your machine. So that's one option. Otherwise, there's not like a like super powerful privacy respecting one. I know DuckDuckGo has its own AI that you can use on its website that I think kind of like proxies to these other models. So that's one option. I do know there is crap, what's the name? NanoGPT is another one I've seen. So these are just like loose ones I've seen online, but I haven't found like a consistent rec to just give people yet. Let's see. Yeah, okay. This is a good question. Cravo asks, I use Signal whenever possible, but when not possible, what would be the least bad option from the big boys? SMS, WhatsApp, Instagram, Facebook Messenger, Google Messages. Yeah, so it's a good question. I've gotten this a lot. And it's a very common comparison online of like WhatsApp versus SMS. Like which is worse? And I'm personally, this is debatable, it's all opinion. I personally land in the camp that having end-to-end encryption is always better than using something like SMS. So even having a Facebook account and even using WhatsApp or Facebook Messenger, I would argue is better than using just regular SMS. Just because I view SMS as practically being public information, whereas at least with Facebook, hopefully it's only Facebook collecting your metadata, and that's kind of it. Still a problem, but I would take that over the other one. I would personally, though, of all of them, lean you towards Google Messages. Like I would say Google Messages is my least problematic one of the list. And Google Messages still has problems, right? I'm not saying it's a good messenger, but of all of those, I would probably use Google Messages as my first backup. Especially since, I don't know, they're all based on Signal's protocol, right? WhatsApp, I think Facebook Messenger is as well, and Google Messages all use the Signal protocol. It's just a matter of which company you trust to handle your metadata, essentially. And I guess they're both ad companies, but I think, I don't know, at least Google is more like isolated and it's not part of like your whole social media life, I guess. Just loose thoughts. Maybe I'm just anti, I am very anti-Facebook. I'm anti-overall Google as well, but I think I dislike, yeah, I dislike Facebook a lot more than Google personally. Let's see here. I'm checking the Signal group. One year. Yep, congrats. I see the live chat jumping too. I feel for you. Haha. Yeah, I don't know why YouTube hasn't figured out how to just have the live chat not jump around every few minutes. It's insane. Let's see. Restic, 100% Restic. That's what I use to back up my files to my Hetzner storage box. Okay, so that's a recommendation for the PeerTube server. So I'm gonna go ahead and put that down. Is that what you're talking about? No, this looks like it's backups. I don't know if we're talking about the same thing. Keep up with me on the Signal group after the live stream where I can more properly focus on that. Let's see. They said, Fire Dragon says, I failed to really declare any AI models open source. A lot of these models are trained on copyrighted material and steal content. Yeah, don't disagree at all with that. But I think that's kind of like the best someone can do if they're going to use the models at all. WhatsApp is better 100%. At the very least, the actual contents of the messages are encrypted. Yeah, and I'm pretty much in the same boat there as well. Like, at least you have basic encryption. Both Google and WhatsApp can do that. And the cool thing about Google is at least it kind of can serve as, oh yeah, so they said RESTIC for backups. Yeah, if anyone has advice on the RMTP issue for a CDN, let me know. That would be nice too. Back here, no way my boy is alive. Yes, SI0H3. Love this, just a tiny thing. It might be better to switch the chat to the other side or flip your camera. So it looks like you're looking at chat. Yeah, I can move it over, at least for now. Let's see. Hi, just joined in. Oh my God, it jumped again. Okay, I'm actually gonna go very quick now. We do have ARM64, it's called FEX. Yep, we already talked about that. Handle doesn't write to text really well. Windows 11's software that's screen sharing, the application audio is similar to Discord. Yeah, Signal, I don't know. Yeah, I guess Signal doesn't do audio sharing, question mark? I'm not sure off the top of my head, so not sure. Preparing to move to Linux. Good luck with that, Malak. If you do it, definitely share your experience on the forum or in a different live stream. Thank you so much for the help. Of course, Caesar, my opinion on the Linux kernel comes from trying to run NVIDIA stuff on it. Microsoft's approach means NVIDIA's code doesn't go even near the kernel. The kernel is isolated. Oh, cool. Thanks, Rick. I have not heard of FEX. Any FOSS cloud hosting service connecting it to the previous question? Previous question? I don't see the previous question. Maybe you can re-ask it in one question. My dad used Proton Pass. Nice. Yeah, I think Proton Pass is pretty nice. It's my favorite by far. Password Manager, it's what I'm using. Cryptometer is fantastic for encrypted cloud backups. Yep. Does Box 64, 32. Yeah, you can use stuff like that. I just didn't find it to be as good and really usable. It was also annoying to set up, personally. So the play is using Cryptometer with cloud storage. Let's see. Sorry, guys. I'm trying to rush through this to make sure I get caught up. I'm falling behind here. RCS. Last week I looked further into the meaning of open standard. Varies among various organization governments. My interpretation, anybody can freely use it. Interesting. Yeah, I know we kind of had that discussion a couple weeks ago. The inner workings of an open standard are not necessarily open source. Got it. I strip out more tracking spyware. That rebel rules. That never really. Okay. It can still be disabled. Grr! What do you think about RCS? Has potential. We will see how end-to-end encryption works on it before we decide. Let's see. What do you think about Telegram? Try to avoid it at all costs. So I really don't like Telegram. Yeah, that's a theory right there. Maybe Google has an AI bot that scans this chat, knowing you're dictating things from it. Very possible. Forgot to mention, I signed up for Tuda Nota and now use Tuda and Proton for email providers. Nice. Thoughts on WPA2 AES in 2025 for home network? It seems like for compatibility, sometimes you might need to use it, but if you can get away with WPA3, I'd almost always recommend it. But a lot of routers still do WPA2, 3, like both, and a lot of them don't allow you to just set WPA3. So just something to think about. I don't think it's, it's not the end of the world if you only use 2, but definitely try to use 3 if possible. Okay. I'm caught up, guys. I'm sorry if I rush through things a little bit. I just want to make sure that we still keep moving on the winds because I have limited time and I still want to make sure we get through all of it. So let's go ahead and continue here. To continue the theme of Linux this week, I updated to Fedora 42, the encryption screen splashing issue, waiting for that bug to fix to update. Took that as an opportunity. I haven't heard of this bug, by the way, but that sounds really obnoxious. Took that as an opportunity to completely wipe the system and installed Fedora 41. I was dual booting with Windows before, now completely on the Linux side. So they went from dual booting all the way to just full-blown Linux, which is super awesome. Okay, what's even... Gosh. Timeout. Grr. Are we getting off topic? I'm actually, before I just start needlessly maybe muting the wrong people, let me... Okay, how do I undo that? Okay, maybe I shouldn't have done that, but there's no way to undo it. Luckily, it's just a timeout, so hopefully next week it can be back, but I unhid your comment. I'm sorry. Let's see, running Windows inside Docker. I hope you can see how this could read as off topic for the live stream and could be instantly mute worthy. Anyway, it doesn't let me undo it, it seems, so that's kind of a bummer because I'm trying to undo it. Anyway, let's see here. Running Windows, oh yeah, you can't undo timeouts. That's stupid. Okay. Running Windows inside Docker, just in case I need it for something. That's super exciting. And there are some, like, for example, what's it called? Hazard Zone, I think, is what it's called. It allows you and kind of does it. Man, I'm getting so sidetracked. Use a different... You can shorten timeouts. Oh. So I can put them in timeout for 10 seconds? I wonder if that undoes the old one. Okay. Let's see. Running Windows inside Docker. Created a script to start Docker and open via XFREERDP and add it to Arc menu. It's fast as hell and so much better than running in VirtualBox or boxes. Yeah, if you have the skill set to use containers, there's a lot of potential there for privacy stuff. Like, honestly. It's just a little bit more technical for people to set up. Let's see. Oh, I had wins. I thought that was like my stream here. Everyone, thanks a lot for your patience. Still doing a lot of transitions and finishing up some big projects, so been a bit swamped. Just wanted to say a few things. It was cool to see Garujo do a community stream last week. As I already mentioned, we got the community migrated to a new host. So like this whole forum is now like hosted like by a new provider. A new PeerTube server is ready to go live. So again, I already announced techlore.tv earlier if you want to check it out. And then, yeah, that's kind of it here. I already mentioned those things, though. I have a single win, and it's about limiting Windows bloatware for my laptop. By the way, could you include me on your next live stream? That's pretty good. It'd be cool if you expanded on what exactly you limited in Windows, but anything you can do to try to reduce the amount of telemetry and privacy issues that Windows has is a step in the right direction for sure. Oh, okay, so Rolls Ice Cream actually expanded on my question originally. First, the badge name you saw next to my name is Guidance Counselor. Seems like setting Discord's language in French makes the badge name in French for everyone, even for non-French people. That's so weird, thanks for noticing that. So that's why it says Counselor d'Orientation. That's really funny, that's like the first thing I said. We got a Silver Techlorian, hello Fuzzy Mint. Yes, you can be a Bronze or Silver Techlorian. On YouTube, and it's the same features, except there is no signal group on the YouTube side of things because there's no way to DM users and like exchange that information. But that's exciting. Fuzzy Mint, definitely one thing I'm going to ask you to do. I posted a Q&A, and I'm looking for more shorts to make. So go ahead and check out your like posts tab and your membership portal, and I posted a Q&A thread there. Leave that Q&A, and I'd love to showcase you in a dedicated short. So yeah, that's a quick favor if you wanted to be involved with something with your brand new membership. Let's see here. About my phone, it's Motorola G34, not the best out there. It's not like a One UI where the interface looks 100% different. Cool. And let's see, Gary Joe asked a question. Got it. Okay, fluorine. Finally have a computer I can use at home that is not monitored by the school, and I installed Zorin OS. No more Windows, no more Chrome OS. Yeah, Zorin seems really cool. Like, it's a genuinely cool project. And actually, we talked about Zorin recently on a surveillance report, and the Zorin OS developer, like the main guy, reached out and he just said, like, oh, I really like your channel and thanks for mentioning us. So, yeah, really exciting stuff. And definitely was cool to get a message from one of the Linux devs. They also said finally able to use VPN on desktop as well, which is where 99% of my traffic happens. So that's super cool. Would be cool. Which VPN did you go with? Would love to know. And then they said they switched to Mulvad browser as their main browser for all their daily browsing where they don't need to log in. They even wrote a post on how to customize Mulvad without sacrificing anonymity, which I think was actually a bit of a controversial post, if I remember. Yeah. So this might have been a controversial post from what I remember people saying, but if you're interested to see what they did, that is on the forum. Let's see. Okay, so Garujo has two accounts, and it's them and their friend, Jonathan. Hopefully I said that right. I might need another DM from you, Garujo, with like the audio pronunciation. Let's see here. I do see the Signal group. I'll get back to you guys soon. I'm like about 10 minutes behind, but I will get back to you after this one. So on behalf of them, first they're transitioning his Instagram to PixelFed, which is huge, and he's slowly getting a transfer post from there. We can convey to that he would appreciate his friends and family to bookmark it or make an account. Yeah, so I think of all the like social media platforms, PixelFed is like the closest to the real thing. Like, I would actually argue PixelFed's better than Instagram because Instagram is such a bloated nightmare. And PixelFed is just so clean, so polished, and just very clean. I say clean twice. But anyway, if you haven't checked out PixelFed, check it out. It's like one of the few federated services that just looks good, works well, and is, I'm a big fan of it. I created a Mastodon account, elk.zone. A lot of people prefer Elk. So here, yeah, I like Elk. It's pretty nice. We decided to donate to Privacy Guys equally with each set amount totaled, so 2 months here, and donating to the Tor project, Europe Open Collective, and we will decide the next move next month. Nice. It's cool that you guys are like supporting the projects, and I think it's really cool. Like the more, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We do napkin math sometimes behind the scenes, just kind of see what's going on and keep up with trends. And I'm saying this as like obviously, like yes, I love having supporters here on Tech Lore, but this is the pattern across all projects. So this is more about just Tech Lore, but about as just a pattern in general. Less than 1% of our viewers have in any way like directly contributed financially to the project, right? Which is overall fine because that's why we have things like sponsors, we have things like ads. And we have different ways of making money, affiliate links that are able to pretty much like compensate and make sure not everybody needs to financially contribute. The problem is not everybody wants to do that or make those decisions. They don't feel comfortable taking sponsorship money. They feel like it might influence their content, or they don't like affiliate links for one reason or another, or they especially don't like ads. Some people want to go PeerTube only, right? PeerTube doesn't even allow ads. So we're able to offset the costs of running PeerTube. PeerTube costs money to run. People don't know that. It's not just free. Like my server that I set up is going to cost about $60 a month, which isn't a huge expense, but you know, when you have little expenses here and there, like that stuff adds up. My point is, where I'm going with this is less than 1% of people give anything. So if 10% of people gave a dollar, like you guys don't understand how much numbers scale up. Like when you have over 200,000 subscribers on YouTube, or even if you have 20,000, when you get 10% of people to just give a dollar, that actually goes a lot further than less than 1% of people giving 10, 20, 30. Of course, you need both, and those people who are already there are doing like the work for everyone else right now. but I just want to encourage people to find their favorite project and just contribute a couple bucks. And when I say a couple bucks, I literally mean a couple bucks. And you might go, Henry, that's stupid. It's $2. It doesn't do anything. But I cannot express to you how much scaling happens with $2. If 100 people donate $2, which sounds like a lot of people, but again, like when you're working with large numbers, that's not a hard thing to do, then that's $200 that a project gets. And it's much easier to do that than to convince one person to give a project $200. So just want to congratulate them for doing this because it's really important. And I think that like if we actually want to see more projects that aren't that are truly like community grassroots projects, then we need to also facilitate a way to make it worth their time. So doesn't have to be for us, right? Like I really want to make it clear, like, yes, this would be good for Techlore as well, but it's applicable to the whole community, all of open source, all these privacy services we talk about, security services, other resources out there, other channels, if you like other channels, try to contribute to your favorite person or your favorite few people, whatever you can give, because it really does go a long way. Sorry. And now, successful transition from the browser's password manager to Proton Pass for Jonathan, which is super cool. Proton Pass is just genuinely good. I love it. And getting to any password manager that's dedicated is going to be a big win. So, congrats. All right. And then we have the final one, FireDragon, who is also in the Signal group. Don't you worry. I'm going to get to you guys very soon here. I'm just going to finish this up. They decided to take the hit on the so-called final boss of self-hosting, which is email. They wanted to do it mainly for experience, and hey, it went pretty well. Their emails didn't get detected as spam, and they go through just fine across places like Gmail. What makes it even easier, of course, is NixOS. There is a project that's called NixOS Mail Server. That is what I used, combined with also an aliasing service. It makes it pretty nice. This will also play nicely for SMTP for my other self-hosted services. Congrats. Also, for people who do want to try self-hosting email, though I don't recommend unless you're experienced in the Linux CLI and self-hosting, Stalwart Mail is a great option. You can even enable PGP for all incoming emails to make sure all your emails can only be read by only you. So super cool stuff, and I'm going to go ahead and open these up so you can just see what he's referencing. NixOS Mail Server and then Stalwart. Yeah, pretty cool stuff. And congrats on like just taking the just jumping in the pool and trying to go all the way there with pretty much like what's regarded as one of the hardest things to self-host. So if you can do that, you can probably do anything. So good stuff over there. And with that said, it's just you and I now in the live chat. Let me go ahead and get caught up with the Signal group. FireDragon, I will probably keep this image. It is amazing. Prob as a meme. So yeah, some context. Let me see if I can show this on screen somehow. Here, yeah, I'm gonna really try to show this on screen. Let me get my Signal client on desktop open. And let me like save this and open it in my browser. I have like a specific browser that I like to use for streaming, so I don't share anything I shouldn't be sharing for all of you. Let's see. Okay, I got it. Let me pivot over. So here's the I was playing around with live streaming in PeerTube, and you can see this is like a side by side of the same stream. So I was able to set up a stream, a multi-stream that went to both YouTube and PeerTube. So when I say I got it to work, I really do mean I got it to work. So this is like an active live stream. But it's just a funny photo because it's me just like messing around with it and looking at my monitor. And it's like the way they described it was Henry looking at the sky. It's just funny. Anyway, they said they're going to keep it as a meme. And now it is like here for everybody to see in the live stream till the end of time. And maybe I can like recreate it. Let's see. I got to go this way. Now it's Henry looking at Henry. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. And let's see here. Small win from M. they helped a loved one object to AI data training on Meta platforms. Yes, I think that is a very bare minimum thing to do, but if anybody is on these platforms, like, please, 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 please just do the basics, opt out of things when you can. It does go a ways, right? I wouldn't say it goes a long ways, but it goes a ways. All right, Gurujo said I needed to look up a little bit more for the meme, so I gotta... And then maybe I should move this over a bit, right? How do I... Here, no, I'm gonna get this right. Don't you worry. I'm here for the quality memes. So we're gonna... Okay. There you go. I got a perfect on Signal, so I hope that helps. Let's see. Someone said you should use a different front UI for YouTube chat. Yeah, honestly, I just hate OBSs. So I normally use this because it's normally better, just visually. But I'm going to play around with it because, yeah, it's just obnoxious to keep up with. Can we count PewDiePie Linux video as a collective win for the community? Exposing Linux to a large audience could have a small impact on boosting Linux OS market share, even if it's 1%. Yeah, 100%. Again, like, mainstream coverage is going to go a long ways. And I think that's what I want to see more, is more people embracing Linux. And I think it would really help. So, Neil, my man, tune in to super, super... Ooh. My dog's scratching. And looks like a freak. I don't know why he thinks sitting like that's acceptable, but I was going to drink water, so I'll join him. I don't know if that can be picked up in the mic. Oh my gosh, someone got a screenshot on iPad of me looking at me looking at me. Cool. Oh, yeah. Good job, bud. Okay. Let's see. Neil, my man. Yeah, Tutanota is super uber duper quick to lock the legitimate subscriber out because, like, I have literal paper written passwords. Okay. Tuta insists on some 2FA heavy. Sir. Excuse me. Have you tried Start Page in Brave browser? I heard DuckDuckGo still has a contract with Microsoft. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised about the latter part of that. And I have not tried Start Page in Brave browser. I've only ever really used Brave Search in Brave browser. I guess recently DuckDuckGo as well, but that's more of a new thing. Ooh, somebody said they gave 5 euros to Firefox's Thunderbird project. Good stuff. Not till, like, I tried Thunderbird recently and it was not for me. And actually it wasted like 2 hours of my time because basic things weren't working and it was buggy. So I hope that your $5 goes towards making it better. Let's see. NixOS is the ultimate Swiss knife of Linux. Yes. NixOS is super cool, like super cool concept. Let's see. Posted my question in the Q&A. Yes, thank you, Fuzzy Mint. Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and start making shorts for those, so now I can have a way to, like, directly answer questions in, like, a shorts format. But I'm trying to, like, kickstart it a little bit more. I got a question, like, why isn't it available to all supporters? It's kind of a short-term pain, long-term gain, mainly because I've done the Q&As in the past, and when you open it up to everybody, you get a lot of comments, which is great. And normally that's good for, like, this kind of format right now where you guys are asking me questions and I'm answering them. So in a live stream format, it's great. But having to produce an individual short for each question, I don't want to have to do more than like 10 a week. So we might not get that many responses at first, but hopefully in the long run, we'll kind of get the right amount of responses based on, like, the amount of people that join. And in the meantime, you know, this is where I'll be doing a lot of Q&As in these weekly live streams. But for the actual, like, individual shorts that I want to make for you guys, I want to keep that a little bit more exclusive so I can actually stay on top of the perk. Let's see. You needed to look up, Henry. The techlore.tv PeerTube version of the show thumbnail is great. We are aware that this is a super serious show with a super serious host. Let's see. And before Henry looking at Henry looking at Henry looking at. Maybe. OBS is kind of blah. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. You'd think that, like, OBS would just be better at this point, given how many people use it and how much, like, support that it seems to have. But yeah. Oh, the hydration was not audible. It's a good mic. Okay. I forgot to mention I got USB-A adapters to prevent juice jacking on my devices. Interesting. Yeah, I've always loved to see, like, I would love to see how, like, frequent juice jacking actually is. It seems to me like one of those attacks that, like, seems cool and seems like it's frequent, but it's probably, like, never really seen in the wild. But, like, there's no harm in preparing for it and having something there, so I think that's pretty cool. Have you ever exchanged glances with someone who recognizes a message on your t-shirt, whether it's Monero or some other tech you have printed on your t-shirt? Yeah, that's a good question. So, I mean, A, I've just been recognized, which is always awkward. That's happened a few times now where I'm just out in public and, like, I'll literally just be walking down the street and someone goes, "Oh, whoa, like, you're on the YouTube channel." And I go, "Yeah." And then it's always a weird, yeah, it's always a weird thing. I never know what to say. What I have heard from people is I act more normal in real life. I swear, I'm not making that up. Like, I'm actually being dead ass. Like, I'm not just making that up to look more normal. But people, like, were like, "Yeah, you're less awkward and you seem like just a normal person." So I'm like, okay, cool. I don't know if that comes across in live streams as much, but live streaming is awkward. Like, guys, think about what my life is like back here. I'm talking to nobody, right? Like, but I'm talking to a lot of people. I'm talking to 100 people right now, but I'm talking to nobody. I don't know how to do it without acting awkward. It is so weird. It's a weird concept. I'm really good at talking to someone and looking at them in the face, but it's so weird to just talk to, like, three computer screens in front of me and, like, try to, like, make it sound natural, but then I'd just be myself. But it's hard to be myself knowing I'm being, like, it's just weird. Live streaming is weird. Let's see. But to answer your question a little more directly, I don't normally, like, so I have a very select wardrobe where I kind of just wear very simple clothing out and about. So I don't normally wear graphic tees or, like, promotional privacy stuff anymore. So I don't really see that too often. Yeah. Let's see. I think I'm going to create some t-shirts myself. Suggestions. Sorry for the off topic. Yeah, I mean, just pick something unique that looks good and that you think resonates with you and other people. I mean, there's, like, so many ways to do merch, and I was never able to do it very successfully on my end. So I wouldn't take advice from me on this, to be honest. What are your thoughts on using OpenSUSE Tumbleweed as a daily driver? It's great. I mean, Mast as well. I think it's called Mast. Is there, like GUI essentially for just so many cool things. I love that. That should be in every Linux distro. And OpenSUSE is a great org. Like, overall, I really like the stuff they're doing. I used Tumbleweed very briefly in the past, and it just didn't work for my use case at the time. But great distro. And I did a Linux tier list too, if you guys want to check out that video. So I use multiple operating systems. So the win is not, like, the win is showcasing people's wins, not my wins. So I still use Linux for certain things right now. I use Mac OS for certain things. I use technically Windows for gaming, though I haven't booted up that desktop in months outside of making that one video recently where I showed how to update from Windows 10 to Windows 11 on an unsupported CPU. So technically there's that Windows machine there, but yeah, like, all of the above. But the wins, like, the highlights are showcasing the community wins, not mine. Except that one time I did showcase my wins, actually. There was that one time. Henry, you missed the live chat comment. The point about donating, I clarified on an Open Collective. Oh, here we go. You can actually transparently report on your expenses, and people can get it. It's why the Duo account has an Open Collective organization like that. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, Open Collective is cool. I know Privacy Guides, I think, used to be there, and I don't remember what happened to it, but I do overall love the concept. Let's see. Yeah. Exactly. Imagine my pain when I didn't go live and I was talking for hours. Yeah. Henry, my first visit to a live and, like, fifth to a video here. Y'all are very warm, welcome, clear, clean, coherent. Kudos, all gravy good. Yeah, cool. I'm glad I'm gravy good. But no, I really appreciate that. Would love to hear what video you stumbled on and that brought you here. And it's good to have you here. You're a celebrity. Yes, I can understand that it has to be awkward to encounter a total stranger who knows you or thinks they do. It puts you in a strange position. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out like a good way to approach it because people build relationships with other people on the screen, but it's not reciprocal. It's not a reciprocal relationship. And it's really, really, it's a weird concept to be on the other side of it because other people clearly develop a connection with you, but then on your end, like it's just not possible to build a connection with thousands of people. It's literally impossible. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's just a really weird thing that, like, as a species, I don't think we've ever had to do before. So, yeah, I don't know. It is awkward. That's all I'll say. You're doing a great job being yourself. Thank you. Yeah, I try to. Don't know. I think I'm doing that. So, what is the best version of Linux for Windows users? That's a good question. I see a lot of different takes. A lot of people like Linux Mint specifically because they say it's most Windows-like. So that's maybe a good place to start. But you can try really any Linux distro that's more beginner-friendly, and you should be able to kind of figure it out. Like from there, you know, like one step at a time. Fernando says, kind of new to this. Yeah, I mentioned earlier, like Ubuntu, Linux Mint, Fedora typically are pretty okay places to start. Doesn't like, as long as you're picking something that is beginner friendly. Neil Thompson, if I randomly saw you out and about, I'll talk to you too. If you didn't look super busy, I'd let you know who I am also, though. Yeah, no, and I think it is different if like I already know the person. So there's two ways this could happen. It could just be a random viewer who has no presence in our communities, nothing. Like, I don't even know who they are. That one is really different and really hard, and that's been all I've had for the most part. Now, actually meeting someone who I'd recognize their username, then we have something to talk about, right? I can be like, oh, Neil, oh, dude, yeah, you're in the live streams. Like, I have something to like tie you to, right? And that would be a lot less awkward, is my point. So it'd be a lot less awkward if I had more people who would recognize me. Which hasn't happened in a long time, for the record. This has only happened a few times in the last 10 years. But it'd be a lot less awkward if it was tied to a person in our community. Let's see. Just stopping by before I go to bed. Hope you're having a nice stream. Thanks, Kiki Koala. They've been active in our community and our Patreon in our forum for a long time. So thanks for tuning in and just saying hi. It's not reciprocal. I hope something comes along to help with that. I dabbled in years ago, chewing my experiment, figuring out really bad from Micro Sloth to free software. Nice. Cool. No, good stuff, good stuff. Yeah, it's hard to decide what to use it on. Let's see, I'm missing the signal group here. Fire Dragon said they did hear my dog drinking water. It was actually captured by the mic for me, as well as Gerujo said same. So someone's mic or someone's speakers didn't pick that up somehow, but it was in the audio. M said, I feel like you're not awkward on a stream. You're doing a great job. I can imagine it must be kind of weird on your end too. Like you said, talk to nobody and 100 plus people at the same time. Parasocial relationships aplenty. Yes. Always a bit awkward. Well, I'm going to put in last calls. So this is the last call for any questions you have about privacy, about technology, about me, any statements, any wins that you want to leave, if you had any wins in the last week, kind of last call here for the last few minutes. I think we'll wrap this up at the half hour, so in about 4 minutes here. Bruh, my bad. I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. If you were you the person who said that it wasn't picked up? And also, Roru said they didn't hear the dogs, so. Starly said these streams are a highlight for the week for me. Really enjoyable discussions. Cool. No, that's awesome. Yeah, I like these too, so I look forward to them. Again, I said earlier, it was weird missing this last week. I was like, man, felt kind of empty. It was necessary and nice because there was so much to do. Like, guys, I can't express, like, the late nights have just been insane. Like staying up till like 2:30 and having to wake up at like 6 consistently has been really tough. And it's getting better, so I think I'm on the tail end of it, but the last couple weeks have been really tough. So I really appreciate everybody's patience. I appreciate people who've stepped up in the community to kind of take over little minor things during the transition. And I'm estimating that in the next couple weeks, more or less, things are going to be kind of back to normal. I mean, just for context, even our sponsors, like our sponsors sign kind of for like monthly commitments, if that makes sense. And our two like big sponsors right now were Dac.dev and Notesnook. They both said like, no, we totally get it. Just like double up next month. You can go ahead because we didn't get any sponsor segments in for them last month. So like just huge shout out to just multiple like and people in the communities for like just being very patient with us, me. And yeah, so just wanted to send a thank you for all of you for being so patient. Microsloth Windows. Let's see. But yeah, thanks for the kind words, Starly. Fuzzy Mint, I ordered myself some new privacy screen protectors because the ones I had were quite poor quality. Magic John privacy screen protector. Yeah, honestly, they're just so nice. I've said this so many times. But privacy screen protectors are, I think, a thing that anybody can get behind, even if they're not like ultra privacy people. Because like no one likes having people next to them being able to look over and see their screen. So I think it's a really useful tool, and I have always liked one. Question, anybody in the privacy community or security that you might interview next? So I have a really embarrassing answer, which is I've already interviewed a lot of people. I just need to produce them. So let me give you the list of what those people are or who those people are. So I already teased this for a while ago, but Alma Linux, I had an interview with them a long time ago now, and I need to get that out. I also interviewed Michael from Buskill, which is that Dead Man Switch. I interviewed Jose Briones, I hope I said that correctly. Oh my gosh, yes, he's there, okay. That did you guys see that? That's crazy. Good timing, Jose. And I know that you sent that before I said your name, which is even crazy. So yeah, Jose actually just put out a podcast with me. So he interviewed me and I interviewed him and he already posted it on his end. So you can check out Jose's Substack. And there's already an interview there where I kind of talk about the overlap of minimalism and privacy. But I also interviewed Jose. I also interviewed the CEO of Nextcloud, Frank, also interviewed Nova Customs Vessel, also interviewed Redax CEO, also interviewed Key Jeffries from Session, and I interviewed Victor from IVPN. So there's a lot of interviews that have already been recorded. Okay, Briones, thank you. Thank you, Jose. Yeah, and Naomi Brockwell, like we're on Signal together. We've done some chatting, but at least on my end, so far it's been mostly just like mutual respect and like keep doing what you're doing. We haven't quite found like the best like overlap yet. But yeah, like she's doing good work. We're already in touch. And yeah, so really good stuff. But yeah, I really, trust me, there's stuff I'm trying to get done in the next month that people have been waiting for a long time. And yes, they're good things to interview, but it doesn't matter if it's not live, right? So we'll get those out soon. M says the interview was nice, talking about Jose's interview. So again, people really liked the interview with Jose, so I would definitely go check that out. Let's see. M said, we appreciate you back. I'm gonna heart that on Signal. The interview was nice, I'm gonna heart that. Privacy screen protector does have issues with any scanners, like barcode scanners. Sometimes it's hard to pick up. I have had that issue, but if I turn up my brightness all the way, normally it still works, but it kind of depends how extreme the screen is. I wish there was a standardization for it. Like, I wish privacy screen protector companies, they're not big enough. It's not a big enough industry for this to be a thing, but I wish it was, like, on a scale of 1 to 3. Like, 3 is, like, very dim, very dark, because there is definitely variety. If any of you guys have used these privacy screen protectors, you'll know that some of them, like, kind of barely do anything, but like they're enough so that if you're all the way to the side, you won't see anything. But those are like kind of more like mainstream. The middle one is pretty good because it gives you more protection without being overbearing. And then there are like, I have got a couple that were just like so dark. And they even change the color of things and make it like yellowy. It was weird. My point is, I wish there was like more standardization in the industry. Gurujo said, I do appreciate the credit here for my stream. Honestly, that was showing the views, likes, and comments. Cool. Yeah, no, of course. And I'm caught up, and then I'm 2 minutes beyond what I said. So I'm going to go ahead and start logging off. You have great interview ideas, no joke this time. And yeah, they're not ideas. They're recorded. I have the videos on my computer. I just need to produce them. So that's all I got, guys. Thank you all for tuning in. It's been a fun stream. It's good to be back after missing last week. And I will be seeing you all next week. So thank you all for your patience again. And if anyone, okay, my last thing, please, if you know anything about what I talked about, I know it might have sounded technical, but if you know anything about the PeerTube side of things and you have any advice on any kind of DDoS protection for streaming traffic, RMTP, then please let me know. And that would be very helpful. And that is my call to the community for some assistance. Let's see, someone is trying to switch to Linux Mint. Nice, good luck, Miguel. Hopefully next week you can report back that you moved over. But yeah, thank you, Jose, and we'll see you next time also. Hope you have a good weekend. Goodbye, Starly, goodbye, RBQ, goodbye, Anton, goodbye, Caesar. Thank you, Fuzzyman, for joining, and I will be answering your questions soon, and you'll see that shortly. Yes, awesome, all right, I'm gonna